Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's the Ramble Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Art Ross, Bill Masterson, Joey Devine, Conn Smythe, Frank J. Selke, John Keane, the Prince of Wales, Lady Bing, special guest John Wilms, Lord Frederick Stanley, the 16th Earl of Derby, Patreons Tyler Brown, thank you Tyler, Jackson Murphy, thank you Jackson, Andrew Lou, thank you Andrew, musical guest Hockey, and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and we are back after a 2 week long hiatus that dealt with both Thanksgiving and me getting sick three separate times with a new episode. I'm here, as always, with my best friend, your co-host, America's Uncle Dad himself, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good.
Have you gotten sick? Everyone is sick.
I got a little bit sick, but I think I avoided it. I know how much I love emergency, Joey. So mm-hmm. Kept me safe. I'm actually a dog uncle this week, so I don't think she'll be on the podcast, but I am with the large fluffy Bernedoodle known as Snuggles Muffin today.
And we have a guest on the show who we haven't had in a while. One of our best friends, the author of Jad's Dad Milo, available from Mouse House Books. Get it today, just in time for Christmas, baby. It's our friend John Wilms. John, how are you?
Hey, man. Doing pretty good. As I told you guys before the podcast, I'm watching the World Cup. Mm-hmm. So,
because you love murdered journalists.
No, that's not what I'm watching it because I grew up watching the World Cup no matter what the schedule was. Like, I would wake up at 4 a.m. and watch it with my dad. So
I like it. That's sweet.
Do you have a favorite?
I'm using that as a shield, that sentiment is a shield against whatever you're going to say next. But
you're trying to greenwash this podcast.
yeah. What were you going to ask?
I was just going to ask who you root for.
Or if I don't root for anyone. I don't care that much. I mean, I like Messi. He's awesome. Kind of like worried that like I kind of missed the boat on like an all-time great with Messi, like shit that I like miss his like greatest moments. But guess what? They're kind of happening right now in terms of World Cup play.
It's so like that's Tom Brady. Awesome.
Right.
Well, it's more of like 98 Michael Jordan, I think.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like that perfect head game composure stuff with him right now where he's getting a goalie to literally move before he even touches the ball, like dive in the wrong direction before he's even touched it with the way that he stares at him. And it's like, oh, that's very fun to watch. So I'm enjoying that. I like the French team. I don't do the whole geopolitical thing.
No, it's ridiculous.
Because like you said, murdered journalists, you know, slaves died to like build this stadium. So like the whole thing is bad from the start. So just root for the guys who you think are cool when they play soccer. I'm going to root for Kylian Mbappe when France is playing Morocco, even though France colonized Morocco.
Yeah, because I'm sure the Moroccan Soccer Federation is full of terrible, terrible people because that's all FIFA's made up of.
Well, it's only getting worse. You saw the Ronaldo deal that the Saudis are giving him, right?
It's so wild.
It's classic, like holding Brittany Griner as a political prisoner to trigger the West behavior.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very Putin-esque in that way. It's like, oh, so you're just going to like try to make all these other countries mad by like paying Ronaldo too much.
Yeah, it's like trolling on a global scale now.
Yeah, pretty weird. And as we know, the NBA is going to be heading potentially in similar directions with the sovereign wealth, loosening of sovereign wealth rules with a new team.
I haven't even seen this.
Oh yeah, they have loosened the boundaries on who's allowed to have ownership stakes in NBA teams.
Mm-hmm.
So sovereign wealth funds are now eligible to bid for expansion.
The Phoenix Suns,
I guess.
The Phoenix Suns, yeah.
Weirdly, Brittany Griner's employer.
I mean, I guess if you're gonna like Peter Thiel is buying the Suns, it appears, right? If you're going to let him in, let everybody in. That's what the rumor is that Thiel Group has made a massive offer on the Suns.
He just wants to harvest their blood.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly. The Warriors will no longer be number one in blood boys, that's for sure.
Wow. That is so weird. I really do not welcome that, I have to be honest.
Yeah. With
these big, like, weird tech billionaires just like take, they're like coming into everything I like I don't know,
like
Twitter. Yeah, I've been off of it for like 3 weeks now or something, and every time I check in for a second, it's completely like Homer Simpson back into the bushes because I just see the worst thing that I could possibly see.
Yeah,
like right away.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, it's weird because it feels very retro. One of my friends told me, this is like something awful 20 years ago, basically, right now.
Right. Yeah, I had a friend tell me I had to. I'm a fan of the comedian Stavros Halkias, right?
Yes.
He's funny.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He's very funny. He was on the Joe Rogan podcast, and my friend was like, oh, you should listen to this, even though you don't like this guy, because, you know, it's Stavros. And I was like, sure, I'll listen. Within the first few minutes, Rogan somehow makes it about how you can be funny on Twitter again now. And I was like, I just turned it off right away. I was like, there's no way I can listen to this person for even a second longer. And you could tell that, I mean, you know, from Stavros's general thing that he's not about that, but he just sort of moved it along. It's like, oh God, like people really believe this stuff. They really believe that he's making it good again or whatever.
Oh, and that he's their hero.
It's so weird. It's just lame. Like there were always lame things and lame people on Twitter. Mm-hmm. But like Jack as the de facto owner or COO was just like this weird guy who was never around. Like, yeah, if we can use the metaphor of a mansion party. Like, he's in like he's in like the attic doing the weirdest drugs.
Yeah,
you can just not go up there.
Yeah,
like, and not know about him.
Also, and he's like, I want people to know about silent meditation. You know, like it's.
Also, right, I will say it was the Twitter handle itself, just at Jack, this like empty thing that would never respond to anybody, always made for like a really funny joke. You know what I mean? To be like, yeah, help at Jack.
Yeah. And then Elon Musk would just like reply to anything.
Yeah.
Which is the worst, like, try hard.
That's what he
like
says.
How could you be a billionaire and a try hard? It's
the dumbest people in the world are like, can we do like, you know, crypto something, whatever? And he's like, yeah, we're working on that. I'm like, no, dude.
Well, to get out of the realm of things that make me sad, because I actually love Twitter.
I realized too. I actually love it.
Yeah, Twitter's great. Yeah.
I've loved it all along.
It's the only good one. We have some reader mail.
This is Round Ball Rock reader mail. Communications from listeners. Why do we call it reader mail? It is confusing for robots.
Wait, I lied. We don't have reader mail. It's phone calls. We have phone calls.
Sean and Joey can't come to the phone right now, but luckily phones are the domains of me, a robot. If you know the extension of Tillman Fertitta, please dial it now. Press 1 to have a single beer with Zach Lowe. Press 2 for Senegal-related inquiries. Press 3 for movie times read by Brooke Lopez. Press 33 to hear problematic things Bill Simmons wrote in the early 2000s. Press 0 at any time to leave a message for Sean and Joey. That's right, you too can leave a message for Sean and Joey, just dial 323-682-0342. Once again, that number is 323-682-0342. Please give me a call, being a robot is a solitary road.
All right, guys, our first call comes from our friend Jackson, and Jackson asks, where is this call? It is right here. Sorry. And here's Jackson.
Hey, Joey and Sean. This is Jackson from Los Angeles here, Sacramento Kings fan. Light the beam, fire the laser, Kings Run, California. I'm calling to ask about something that I think was probably already on your radar and seems up your alley, but I just want to make sure, you know, it gets talked about because I think it's important. So for Star Wars Night, the NBA Star Wars Night, DeAndre Jordan made a video of choosing his starting five and sixth man of Star Wars characters. Personally, I found it a little uninspired, and I think Yoda the One is kind of a disaster because he can't make adjustments. He doesn't really have answers for new obstacles, as the prequel showed. So, but I'm curious, one, if you have any strong thoughts on DeAndre Jordan starting five and six men of Star Wars characters, but also if you could curate your own, preferably. You know, I'd want some non-human characters in there. Like if you could squeeze a Dexter Jetster or a Bib Fortuna, I would really think that would help. Cause you know, there's a salary cap. You can't just have only Jedi warriors. That's a bit crazy. But yeah, I want to hear your starting five and six, man. Thanks a bunch. Have a move.
Okay, Sean, do you have DeAndre Jordan start at Star Wars starting five here?
I didn't want to use the clip. You know,
yeah, no, that's fine. I also don't want to use the clip.
So he put Yoda at point guard. I'm going to say people are going to be giving him the too small gesture a lot. His shooting guard is Han Solo. He says because he's a good shooter. His shooting guard, his small forward is Kylo Ren. His power forward is Darth Vader. And then he has Chewbacca at center. And then his sixth man is Rey.
Okay.
Rey Palpatine, is that her last name? I didn't see episode 9. I don't really know what happens except Chewbacca has a death fake.
Well,
out.
First off, I'm going to say right off the bat, he has his big switched up. To me, Darth Vader's a center and Chewbacca's a power forward. Right?
But I would think that that Chewbacca's best analog in the NBA would be like a Charles Oakley type.
Yeah, right? I mean, so I guess in the current NBA, I guess he's a center too. But like, I just feel like one of those guys can move and the other one kind of can't, you know? Like, Chewbacca's kind of fast. Like, Darth Vader really plods, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, is he using the force to throw, like, no-look passes? But he's, like, he is, I mean, he's also, like, more of an enforcer. Like, like weirdly, Darth Vader seems like he would be...
soft?
A bit of a goon. No.
Oh, absolutely.
But he could, like, I kind of see him as more of, like, a Udonis Haslam. Like... He can force choke those guys from the bench, you know, like he's not like getting his hands dirty. Yoda's definitely too short, though. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, have we seen how Chris Paul's been playing this year? It's not like a short guy just doesn't age that well. And Yoda's like 300 years old or something. Right.
Wilms, you haven't said anything. You have anything to add here?
Gosh, I really don't care. I lost interest in Star Wars so long ago. I like Andor. And in fact, I watched the season of Andor that exists and is available. And I thought it was even good. It reached a certain standard. It was good enough that I think that everybody who has in the past made a Star Wars thing should watch it. And feel like very embarrassed.
Here's what I think is funny about Andor. In Andor, the creators of Andor understood a very key thing about Star Wars that no one else has in a really long time. And that is Star Wars is mainly about old British dudes being like, oh, we've got to do this.
It needs to be more British. Exactly right.
But old, too. Also old.
Yes, it's got to be old. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, then let's blow through this because Wilms doesn't care. Sean, what is your star? What is your six? Your Star Wars six?
I think Luke Skywalker has to be the shooting guard.
Interesting. The one thing I like about DeAndre Jordan's list is Han Solo definitely has shooting guard energy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but he's like, I think he's more of a sixth man. What I mean? Like, he's kind of reluctant. He's not really a team player. He's more of a Lou Williams type. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's he doesn't want a commitment. But yeah, I would say that Luke Skywalker has to be the shooting guard. I did not watch anything. Like, I don't know who anyone in The Mandalorian is, but I'm gonna say Boba Fett's the small forward because he has a jetpack and he's kind of like an Artest type, I think.
Sure.
A lot of defense. Point guard. Gosh.
I actually think Rey's a point guard.
I would take Lando Calrissian because there are very few black people in the Star Wars universe. I just feel like Lando would be like a 70s point guard. You know what I mean?
And sure.
I he already has the look. For the big man, I don't think I know who Bib Fortuna is.
That's okay. Just keep going.
But who is it? I know we got
Bib Fortuna is that man that hangs out with Jabba the Hutt that has like a dick scarf. You know that guy? Yeah.
give me Jabba as the center.
Okay, fair.
I just think he's gonna muck things up there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, could you call 3 seconds in the key, or are you just gonna have to like let it go? Because mm-hmm. he's part of him is always gonna be in the key. But I guess part of him will always be out of the key. So I don't know. And then give me Poe Dameron as the guy who dies, and then his initials are on the jersey patch. He definitely dies in that first movie. I don't really know how they even explain that he didn't die. I think Chewbacca is actually a good power forward. And then, wait, did I name a point guard? I did.
You did. Lando Calrissian.
Lando Calrissian. And then my sixth man's going to be Admiral Akbar, because he's going to come off the bench and play a trapping defense.
See, I was going to make the same joke. I was going to say he's got to be the center, right? Because he's calling out all the traps on defense. He's like, it's a trap! They're trapping you!
Yep, that was the same joke.
Yep, same joke. But luckily, I went with a different six.
Good.
Look, there are in The Empire Strikes Back, Sean. There are six.
The Empire Strikes Out.
In The Empire Strikes Out. In The Empire Strikes Back, there are six bounty hunters that were created just to make toys. I'm taking all six. I'm taking Boba Fett, and also none of these guys have a position. We're playing positionless basketball.
Oh, that's good.
I'm taking Boba Fett, Bosk, Dengar, Forlom, Zuckus, and IG-88 to give our friend Jackson the robot.
Nice.
There we go. We're playing positionless basketball. We're being real switchy, and we're gonna lock everybody into Carbonite. All right.
Yeah. Wait, do you think you could teach IG-88 to be one of those jump shooting robots?
Yeah, I do. I do think you could teach IG-88 to be one of those jump shooting robots.
You guys left some money on the table here. You got to take Sebulba because why? Sebulba always wins.
Does he always win?
That's what they say. That's the line from the movie.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
He's a Doug, dude.
All right. This is Pod Racing. All right. We have one more call. It's from our friend Mike in Portland. Wilms, I do think you're going to like this one a little bit more.
Hey, Sean. Hey, Joey. It's Mike in Portland. And for reasons I do not want to get into today, I was on Greg Ostertag's official website, and I found out he is a realtor in Mount Vernon, Texas. So my question for you today is, who in today's current NBA would be the best and worst realtors? Thanks, and I'll take my call off the air.
So, Wilms, how are you handling the information that Greg Ostertag is a realtor in Mount Vernon, Texas?
I'm going to have to turn my camera on for this. I love this news. It's have you ever read the Philip Roth novel, American Pastoral?
I have not, but Sean has, yeah.
It's about the legend. He's not a, you know, NBA player, but he's a legendary local athlete. And mm-hmm.
The Swede.
That's his origin story. But we're following him as a mediocre middle-aged man. And that's what I think about when I hear that Greg Ostertag is a realtor in Mount Vernon, Texas, which I just love that. I love that that's the case. Like, oh yeah. Like he's not working in the media. He's not working in coaching. Like there are a lot of media jobs for ex-players. Like
For the Jazz. Like
pretty much every local broadcast for every team has an ex-player in the booth.
Most of them have five now, where it's multiple ex-players on the pre and post-game shows.
Yes. In Chicago, we have Bill Wennington on the radio. Mm-hmm. We have Stacey King doing the broadcasts on TV. And then we have Will Perdue and Kendall Gill doing pregame, postgame.
So that's at least 14 feet of shit. Is that what Michael Jordan's
That's right. There's a bunch of players who work for the organization in various do nothing roles too.
Yeah.
And again, like you said, it's the Jazz. He went to the finals twice with the Jazz. And he's a realtor in Mount Vernon, Texas.
He donated a kidney to his sister and continued to play in the NBA for 4 more years after that.
Wow.
Like the reverse Alonzo Mourning.
Was he on the Kings at that point? He was a Kings guy later, I believe.
He donated the kidney in 2002, and then he got to the Kings in 2004. And then he went back to the Jazz, and I didn't realize that.
He went back to the Jazz.
And for some reason, he played with the Dallas Mavericks G League team 5 years after his career ended.
Must be hard up. Must be hard up for money.
He also has he is the co-founder of the Ostertag Group, which owns ML Edwards and Company, Watermelon Mills Coffee House, and Ostertag Construction.
See, this is in the same vein as what I said about the Philip Roth book, but I had this weird, just like Mike the Caller, for reasons I'd rather not get into, like internet day, where I was just looking up all these people. Because I've never really been on Facebook, so I don't really know. If anybody's not like a friend of mine from high school, mm-hmm. I have no idea what they're up to. And so I started looking into it, and I was looking, who was the best player on the basketball team when we almost won our state bracket or whatever. So I looked him up, and it was just like boring stuff like that. Like realtor or like some, you know, low down in some very small hedge fund or something. It's like, man, it's just boring now. And Greg Ostertag, same thing. Greg Ostertag career earnings $48 million. That number might be the same if he was playing today.
Right.
He would not benefit from inflation.
I have a theory on this, actually.
Okay.
I would bet if we looked it up, I'm not going to look it up because
their website is down, Joey.
Facts also would ruin my theory. I have a feeling that Greg Ostertag's wife is also, they're a pair. He's just the name. It's like, I bought a house from Greg Ostertag, but really you bought it from his wife. You know what I mean?
Sure. He only has 2 ratings, but he does have a 4.5.
He's from Texas too. Okay, he went back home. All right, Duncanville.
Honestly, he got a 5 and a 4. That's pretty good.
I do think we need to get to the question, though.
Oh, you're
what
right.
Current
you're right.
Okay, players would be the would you most like to buy a house from and least like to buy a house from?
Okay, well, that actually, Joey, wasn't the question. It was who would be the worst and who would be the best.
Okay, but fair enough. So it's who's going to sell the most houses and sell the least houses, right?
Who's gonna become a economic shambles out of this?
Yeah.
This is going to go to a dark place. I think PJ Washington would be a bad realtor. He's not making as much money as he should for his quality as an NBA player, and he's got some personal stuff in which he's done very bad economically as well that we we don't have to talk about that, but Google it. So I think he would be a really bad, like, Arthur Miller type character. tragic realtor. Like Glengarry Glen Ross Jack Lemmon kind of stuff. Like we don't want to see it. We don't want to talk about it for long. I don't know who's got the best contract for the most overpaid player, basically.
Well, you know who I think would be really good and has like a unique contract, which is probably fair but like very unique in its construction, is Josh Hart. And Josh Hart, when he got traded from New Orleans to Portland, he convinced Larry Nance Jr. to just trade houses.
Yeah, they just switched houses.
And so they saved all this money. And that's the kind of outside of the box thinking. And he's also like a little guy who plays like a big guy.
is it too much outside of the box thinking? Would you overthink these real estate deals?
Yeah. Am I going to be buying like a weird flip? And he's like, no. The kitchen's going to be in the basement. That's perfect, mm-hmm. actually. And you're like, exactly. Wait, is it?
See, yeah, I'm exactly. thinking about this slightly differently. I'm thinking about the job of realtor, uh-huh. right? Where a lot of it now is like staging houses, you know? And I'm going to tell you right now, Kelly Oubre Jr. would make some fucked up decisions staging that house. Ooh,
that's
those
a
houses.
Bad realtor.
It
that's
would be
100%.
Like, oh, why is there like a 60-foot tall Misfits poster above this bed? So I'm taking Kelly Oubre Jr. as the worst realtor.
Okay.
And I'm taking Jose Alvarado as the best realtor. That guy, he just grinds. He's just going to grind. Can't. Plus, look at him. Can't you see his face on a bench? Like,
I'm going to pick up my best realtor is Josh Hart. My worst realtor is Nerlens Noel. Mm-hmm. Oh, I just, there's no possible way he's alienating the homeowners. He's alienating the buyers.
He's eating a hot dog.
He's eating a hot dog during the open house. Like, that's all he serves at the open house. Yeah. It's not good with Noel.
Dark place. Real dark place.
Yeah. Also a guy where you were like, well, he turned down $72 million and he got $3 million instead.
Yeah. That did happen. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I meant to ask you about this, Sean. You're a giant San Francisco Giants fan.
Yeah.
Carlos Correa.
Yeah.
Pretty good realtor.
That's a good realtor. Yeah, it's weird. I didn't realize until, I don't know why it took me till this week to realize that all these teams are doing weird luxury tax dodges, which is why he got a 13-year contract.
Oh, because
all the competitive balance tax stuff is based on the average annual value. And so that's why, and I think, I don't know this, baseball has some kind of version of that basketball over 35 rule or whatever it is. Where like the Padres couldn't offer Aaron Judge a 13-year contract because he would have been like 44 at the end. So all these guys are signing deals that take them through like age 41. And it's just because, it's like they're just expecting to eat the last 3 years of the deal, basically.
It is fun because this Bobby Bonilla Day thing has been a holiday forever. And we're not having anything on that level, to be clear.
No,
but it is
Bobby Bonilla, great realtor.
Well, the Washington
all-time realtor, Bobby Bonilla. Yeah.
Well, the Washington Nationals did do that, basically mortgaging the future for their World Series. And so Max Scherzer is like, when his $43 million a year deal with the Mets ends and he's like 42, like 3 years later, he gets this big like 10-year annuity from the Nationals, and so does Steven Strasburg. So
Max Scherzer, bad realtor.
No, he's a great realtor.
No, he's great. He's still making like $40 million.
You know, I can't trust a guy with two separate colored eyes selling me a house. I'm sorry. Right.
He
looks so mean. He looks so mean. He's scary. Yeah.
What Oakland A past or present would you most trust to sell you a house?
Mark Ellis.
Yeah.
He looks like a realtor, first off.
He's gonna do his due diligence. Yeah.
Eric Chavez, I also think, would be a pretty good realtor. Barry Zito, bad realtor.
Eric Burns, terrible realtor.
But you know who would be a great realtor? Mark Mulder. That dude is selling so many houses on golf courses alone, like without even people looking at it. He's sinker balling it right in. All right. We had Wilms on to talk about a very specific thing, and we have not gotten there yet. So let's go to the news.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots.
trust the process.
All right, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
What's the news?
The NBA is renaming some trophies, and as a result, they added. Well, let's. I'm going to take you through the process of it. So, about a week ago, the NBA announced that they were starting a new trophy for the team that had the best record of the year, mm-hmm. and they decided to call it the Maurice Poldoloff Trophy. Mm-hmm. Now, this is hockey has this. Hockey has the President's Trophy. And they basically had, they've had like some version of this with a couple of years on and off since I think like the 30s. Mm-hmm. But also,
and I want to say right off the bat, it's cool in hockey because all those trophies are named after weirdos that no one knows who they are, you know?
Well, and it's, yeah, Don Pardo read some of those things actually. But in, it kind of makes a little more sense in hockey because I think it's, maybe a little more sort of like British mm-hmm. and the yep. soccer influence, because if you have like a 6-team league, you know, that kind of makes more sense that you'd be like, well, the regular season is this thing. And then all of us play this tournament,
yeah.
which is a second thing. And that's like a lot closer to, but now it's like, I don't know, but I think it's even considered cursed. Like you're not supposed to touch it.
Yeah.
If you won the President's Trophy, because then it means you're going to lose. I think the Blackhawks actually got a President's Trophy and a Stanley Cup in the same year, though. Anyway, they named it after Maurice Poldoloff, the lawyer who was also a hockey commissioner, too. But he basically oversaw the merger that formed the NBA. The NBA is actually not 76 years old. It is mm-hmm. 73 years old. This is mm-hmm. the 74th season in the NBA. And he, you know, he's the first commissioner. And so they basically started this new trophy either to try to get people to care about the regular season. No one is going to care about
it. It's to give Utah Jazz fans something to celebrate. they could have called it the Screen Assist Trophy because it's right. the same shit. Yeah. Not that they might. I mean, not that they're going to have the best record this year, but
well, it felt like that was something that happened this year in baseball too, where the LA Times was running editorials about how unfair it was that the Dodgers lost in the playoffs because they won a lot of games in the regular season. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, we have had divisions since 1962. Like it doesn't. Anyway. So they changed the name. So this, no one's going to care about this trophy, but the important thing is they moved Poldoloff's name off the MVP trophy. So they didn't offend Poldoloff Nation, his relatives. they're still honoring this weird guy with a trophy no one cares about. And so they took, they added an award and then they renamed 5 existing awards. And I mm-hmm. want to just go through them one by one. Talk about them and maybe suggest alternative names. Well, actually, first of all, can we talk about how bad these look?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay. Oh, God.
Speaking of God. Carbonite, that's like what it is. It's like a He-Man frozen in carbonite. Like it's the same aesthetic design as a Han Solo figure I had. Which, and it's ironically, really... our friend turned into a mold for weed gummies later when uh-huh. I gave him my old Star Wars figures.
And it's especially shitty, I think, because the Coach of the Year trophy was like one of the best looking trophies in sports.
It was awesome.
It was a wooden Great. Bench with a little brass red hour box sitting on it holding a cigar. Uh-huh. And now you get this like fake this fake crystal bullshit with like a little gold red hour back, but you can't really tell it's red hour back. It sucks. This sucks.
my instinct is to make a topical joke and say these look like NFTs.
They do.
What they actually really look like is like suburban corporate employee of the year mm-hmm. type trophies from like the 90s.
Yeah, because they're crystal, whatever. Right? Like,
right. I mean, it's like, I don't care if it's like, it doesn't look crystal. It looks like a big hunk of glass.
Yes.
Yeah. It looks like a like a flower vase kind of. Mm-hmm.
It looks like, it also kind of looks like a McDonald's cup collection.
Yeah.
like the Batman Forever version specifically. That's kind of where we're at with these.
Also, if you're going to name these trophies after specific people, shouldn't the person in the glass look like the people?
Probably. Like, the Michael Jordan one doesn't look like Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like Michael Jordan's pretty recognizable.
I mean, yeah. I guess the Jerry West one is sort of Jerry Westy, but like, other than that, like, this Hakeem one is like, he's in like a, I don't know, man. Like, also, if you're going to name a trophy after George Mikan and there's going to be a Lil George Mikan, that guy's got to be wearing glasses, you cowards.
With the Jordan one, it's just like, okay, there's obviously the Jumpman logo. Mm-hmm. That's recognizable. I understand not doing that. There might be legal reasons not to do that, even, but probably not because they're league partners with Nike.
Right, right.
But in any event, there are other like recognizable Jordan poses, like the ball cradled, like with his legs both up at like 90 degree angles. Like that's a recognizable Jordan pose. The jump from the free throw line in the dunk contest. Uh-huh. He looks like a 6'9" guy who can barely dunk.
He looks like, well, it also looks like a guy doing a tip off. Jordan never took a tip off.
He looks awful. Somebody, Tony Gill, producer of the Jason Goff podcast, said that he looks like he's trying to fix a light bulb or screw a light bulb. Yeah. They just didn't get the aerial aesthetic at all. They're kind of going for it with like that little material at his feet. It's supposed to be like lift, but it just looks like he's a failure to launch, frankly. Yeah. It's almost like they're trying to mock him because they hate the way that he runs his team, maybe. And maybe that's really what's going on here.
Well, and they couldn't picture his shoes, I guess, too. It's weird.
Really?
It's like they're trying to avoid, I don't know. It does not seem like Michael Jordan. It looks like an Academy Award, except shittier. Like
the Academy Award.
Yeah. I mean,
much, much, much worse.
Yeah. What my initial thought when I saw it is this is like a fucking Superman for All Seasons award. It looks like garbage. It looks like an award that in Watchmen Ozymandias would receive in an early chapter and then murder someone with in a later chapter. Like, it looks like a fake award from a comic book is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Looks fake. Before we go through them one by one, my quick abstract on this, my meta take on this.
Yeah.
It's not even really a take. I think it's pretty clear that it's not for us, meaning people who care about the NBA and have for decades and are older fans. I had this thought. I went up to Milwaukee. My friends and I drove, watched the Bucks versus the Cavs, drove back. It's very close. And there's like all this stuff going on in their newer stadium that like is trying to like weave a rich tapestry of Bucks history and like give you a sense of it. And try to, you know, get people into that as opposed to the reality of like pretty much everybody in the stadium didn't care about the NBA 5 years ago at any point in their life, which is fine. It's like you didn't really have any reason to. I don't really care.
But also that's kind of what I like about the NBA is like that it's like making its history because it's so young.
Yes. Yes. But then so they want to get more people into the NBA. Especially internationally. And so if there's like these little clues for them to like look into the history, right? Similar, there's like a gigantic Kareem bobblehead, like a life-size Kareem bobblehead in the Bucks stadium. They're like selling a lot of Oscar Robertson retro jerseys. They have like an obscene amount of retired jerseys too, which is weird for like the Bucks. There's there's like 15 retired numbers.
That's so wild. Like,
it's really weird. And it's like, you know, even me, somebody who writes about the NBA knows it very well. Like, I would see a few of those numbers and I was like, who's that?
Well, I can read them all real quick. Oscar Robertson, Junior Bridgman, Sidney Moncrief, Marcus Johnson. Most famous, they retired his number for being the dad of the king of NBA Twitter, right? Bob Dandridge, John McLaughlin, Bob Lanier, Brian Winters, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Those are their retired numbers.
Brian
Winters, John McLaughlin, Junior Bridgman. Like, what are we doing here? And so that, but you have to understand, like, if you're like a 17-year-old kid in China, you see the name Hakeem Olajuwon, and you're like, who's that? Mm-hmm. Right? So that's what it's for. And there's the larger cultural reset of the NBA too, where they want the midseason tournament. They want the play-in to stay, which it will, because we don't care about this. We are longtime NBA fans who already like the way that it is.
Yeah.
But other people,
I actually kind of like the play-in. I've been in on the
play-in. I like the play-in. Yeah, I do like the play-in.
I don't.
The mid-season tournament doesn't make any sense.
Idiotic.
I don't really even understand how they're making money with it.
I have no idea, but I might like it if it happens. I'll wait and see.
Yeah.
But like, I just mean people like us generally. I do like the play-in. I'm glad that it's here to stay, to be honest. But, you know, other people who are casuals, they'll turn on a playing game and you don't even need to be like sports literate to like feel the difference.
Yeah.
It feels more like a Sweet 16 March Madness kind of environment. Especially when Patrick Beverley is jumping on the table and celebrating. Most people like that more than what we like as NBA fans. So they're going for more of that. I think they're trying to break it up and change the incentives. And like you said, give the Jazz fans something to celebrate. make more things to celebrate.
I don't mean to pick on the Jazz. It's just like the Denver Nuggets. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a trophy for like these teams that don't do well in the playoffs. All right.
Well, like soccer
the
is
Dallas
the most,
Mavericks.
The soccer is the biggest international sport, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. And part of what has always frustrated me about it, trying to get into it as a fan, is that there's too much stuff.
Yeah.
There's too many leagues. There's international play. There's league play. There's many different
types of leagues. There's different tournaments going on all at the same time.
Sometimes four. Because there's
successful.
Yeah. And they've got one. So in England, it's like they have the league and they have the FA Cup. And that's very easy. The FA Cup's kind of cool because it's like literally every soccer club in the country at any level can compete in it. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of cool. And then
it's like TBT, the basketball tournament.
Yeah. And then they've got one. I don't even remember the sponsor, but it's like they really try to make this extra tournament matter. And for the most part, all the teams are just like, no, that's we're not winning the Toblerone Cup. We're not going to play our real players for those games. Right.
But I think there is a vision probably at the highest levels of the NBA and Adam Silver's, you know, tribunal or whatever.
Yeah. The neoliberal cerebro that they made in.
I don't even think he's like, I mean, Jared Kushner's bestie might not really even be that neoliberal.
Right. But anyway, they have a vision that probably goes many, many years into the future and is dubious in probably a lot of ways, mm-hmm. but involves something more like that. The NBA Toblerone tourney, multiple leagues even, right? So that you can keep this thing going all year round. Mm-hmm. Multiple leagues that people care about anyway. And again, probably a lot of it is dubious and not going to work, but it's certainly the way they're pushing.
Yeah. 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 And then, I mean, I guess you might as well name the trophies. It's just a weird. Okay. So making Michael Jordan the MVP trophy, I would say that is appropriate. Like I know Kareem has more MVPs, but Jordan really has more MVPs than he actually has. Like the two times he should have won MVP and didn't, he went out and humiliated the winner in the NBA Finals. Yeah. So I almost feel like he should have been retroactively awarded those trophies. But also, like, they didn't have anything to named after Michael Jordan. It's like the most powerful name. Like, he's the best. He's the one. Like, he's different from every other basketball player that's ever played. Like, that's
that to me is like a kind of a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got, I mean, Joey, who would you pick for the MVP trophy?
George Mikan.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, you'd go Mikan on that one.
Yeah.
I honestly can't even like, really make a joke.
Who would you
make a joke about it? Like it should be Jordan, and like it could be LeBron because he also deserves more than he's gotten. Although he hasn't deserved one in a long time. But like the Derrick Rose one was his. There was at least one other that I can't remember right now that was obviously his. You know, there's always going to be voter fatigue. There's always going to be voter resentment. Sometimes it's fatigue. Sometimes it's resentment.
Yeah, most of the time I feel like it's actually resentment. Not
right,
fatigue.
Like Westbrook's was a KD resentment.
Yes.
MVP.
Yeah. And
Rose's was a LeBron resentment MVP.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he decided to go work somewhere else.
But what if we name the MVP after one of? What if we name the MVP after somebody who is less likely to win it, and that way it becomes more aspirational.
Mm. Uh-huh. So like it becomes
the Westbrook trophy.
It's like the Dwight. wait, like, do you mean like a Steve Nash or like someone who always fell short?
Oh, that was somebody who always falls short would be good too.
Yeah.
But maybe somebody who won it.
Who has the most top five MVP?
The Bob McAdoo trophy.
The Bob McAdoo trophy. Sure.
Which he was a good player, but mainly people really hated Rick Barry. That's the main reason he got that trophy. The general public's loathing for him.
We'll do Bob McAdoo.
Yeah. All right, great. Yeah.
The Mac, and it's the
yeah,
Mac.
And you call it the Mac. Yeah.
A quick note too. To me, NBA history begins in 1980.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean,
I kind of discount everything before that.
I think it's hard to argue with that. Like I still, I think Kareem is a little bit underrated, but also, Kareem's like not very fun even now. Like a guy,
I love him.
A guy who's like writing on Veronica Mars should be more fun, but his blog is just like scolding people.
Oh, I love his blog. Well, okay, I don't love the scolding one so much, but I love when he's just like, here's four TV shows I'm watching and they're all on the Sci-Fi Network for some reason.
That's great, but like, okay, so we got a defensive player of the year, Akeem Olajuwon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I mean, it could be the Tim Duncan, but I kind of like the idea of also, you know, it's an African player. He's kind of underrated in just like a general sense, I think. Like, you have to imagine that Akeem Olajuwon maybe has a slight, I mean, not that he's not very acclaimed, but the fact that like, three of the top five players on the team he took to the NBA finals when he was like 23 got banned for life for cocaine use. Mm-hmm. That's like, it's rare that an NBA player ends up getting their team decimated like that. I don't have a problem with Hakeem.
I love Hakeem. He was actually the first basketball player I truly loved.
Yeah, same.
But I don't think of him. He is a great defensive player, but his iconic stuff is the dream shake. Is the post move.
It's an offensive move.
Mm-hmm.
And Dikembe Mutombo won it four times. So why isn't it Dikembe Mutombo?
It should be Dikembe. Well, and also you get the same kind of like he's a humanitarian. He does all this other stuff, and he's a little bit more of a. Like you can have the trophy with a finger wag.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
The other one I was thinking is Ben Wallace because you could give it a big afro.
He also won it four times.
And that's also like aspirational too, right? Because like he's like a guy who like wasn't supposed to win a bunch of awards, and now we're naming awards after him.
I believe he's the only undrafted player in the Hall of Fame.
But also, I actually think we should have named this trophy after George Mikan.
Yeah, you know, yeah. George Mikan. Yeah. He,
are you just going to go George Mikan on all of these, Joey?
He made him. He, you know, George Mikan forced basketball to ban goaltending because before George Mikan, people believed that
no one was
basketball was not a tall man's sport.
Yeah,
that they were too awkward, and so they would just zone up, and Mikan would stand out of the basket and knock shots away. And finally, people were like, "All right, this is not a good game."
Well, maybe
anymore,
maybe
if we're letting this happen.
A separate weird guy award for George Mikan. Who's the weirdest guy?
All right.
He's one of the weirdest guys. Okay, rookie of the year. This one is bizarre.
This one is weird.
Wilt Chamberlain. Mm-hmm. Now, was he a good rookie? I mean,
yeah.
But like, that's not at all what you think of Wilt Chamberlain for. And I would specifically say, for a man who slept with 20,000 women, it's weird to name an award for the most inexperienced.
The virgin of the year.
Yeah. Like, as he is, like, oh, he's done. He hasn't really had a lot of, hasn't done a lot. So, like.
So, should we name it after A.C. Green?
No.
Yeah, that would be tight. Oh, that would be funny. Tight. That'd be tight.
This, to me, is the obvious one that you name after Tim Duncan. I don't understand why.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Or Wes
or Magic Unseld. Johnson.
I think Magic Wes Unseld's the except only rookie to win MVP.
The reason Magic and Bird aren't one of these is because they already named trophies after them last year.
Which is, and Kareem actually has like a public service award too, so he's also out of the conversation. And weirdly, I think he'd like that one more.
Yeah.
This should be the Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be funny if it was the Patrick Ewing Award.
But like,
we're like, yeah, it was a really big deal when you were a rookie.
How many rookies ever are as impactful as like Tim Duncan? You know what I mean? Like,
well, I'm saying your other option is Wes Unseld.
But he's
sort of like not exactly famous. I think he's the only rookie to win MVP. Is that? I don't know. But anyway, he's sort of like not as great as those other guys. He was good.
Yeah. Cool name, too. Like the Wes Unseld trophy sounds cool. All right, Sean, what's our next one?
Our next one is the most improved award, which goes to George Mikan.
See, I like the name of this one.
Oh, you like this one? I need to complain about this award generally. I don't like the direction that it's heading.
Yeah.
Because it's become like MVP Junior or like the stepping stone to the MVP.
Yeah.
John Morant should not be most improved player. He's a number two overall pick. He's a very normal elite player, superstar trajectory. You're supposed to give it to a guy, and some people will take a bone with this because they'll say, oh, well, did you know whoever just quantitatively and objectively improved the most should be the most improved player? But I think it should be a guy who we didn't see it coming.
Right. Mm-hmm. It should be like Dennis Smith this year.
Well, Giannis. Right? Yeah. Well, Giannis was listed on the balance like 5 years in a row. And I remember the first year Steph Curry won an MVP, he was like sixth in most improved. And it's like, that guy's not in the conversation. Okay. If you're voting him for MVP, like, you don't need to also, like, we all know he improved. That's not who this is for.
What it's for.
You this know should for? Always go to a guy who was almost out of the league and then had a good year.
Well, they should. Or
maybe not that dramatic. Like Jimmy Butler, I feel like was a true most improved player.
Daryl Armstrong got it once.
That's a great one.
You just shouldn't be eligible if you were drafted in the top five. And there's a lot, like Kevin Love won one. You look at the list and it basically vacillates between guys who are essentially hitting the level you would just want them to anyway. Mm-hmm. And then like actual. So, yeah. So the last one was Ja Morant. Let me just go back. Julius Randle. That was legitimate. Like, that was a guy.
Yeah, sure.
Brandon Ingram. He was the second pick in the draft. Pascal Siakam. Good.
Good one.
Victor Oladipo. Okay. Second pick in the draft. Uh-huh. So, yeah, they Giannis in 2017.
fair.
CJ McCollum in 2016.
Yeah, like they kind of have it right, but recently it's just been like, yeah, picking Kevin Love, that doesn't make any sense.
But
it's
yeah,
gotten worse. It was a little more normal before.
To me, the most ideal, most improved player award who's ever gotten it are 2005 Bobby Simmons. And then 2008 Hedo Turkoglu, where it's like this old dude now.
Uh-huh.
I mean, granted, it turned out he was on like HGH or whatever, but
yeah, that's cool.
Like, this should be an old guy or a young guy award. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Well, do you know why they have the award? I didn't learn this until this week.
No.
It's because they used to have Comeback Player of the Year. And then the guys who kept winning Comeback Player of the Year were guys who had drug absences. Mm. And so the NBA was like, we're worried about white people liking the sport. Anyway,
I think they should bring back Comeback Player of the Year, actually.
Yeah,
I think that's
it makes
cool
so
award.
Much more sense than Most Improved.
Yeah.
Because Most Improved is so. Anyway, yeah. So like last year, it's Klay Thompson. You know what I mean? Like, and that's a nice story for everybody. John Morant getting Most Improved is a real like, yeah, man, they were second in the conference. And even his accepted speech was like,
he said,
I should have given this to Desmond Bane. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so it's just dumb. Anyway, now it's named after George Mikan, who was a dominant college champion, mm-hmm, and led the league in scoring in his very first season.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess he improved when he was like 14 and they convinced him. And I guess, is it named after the drill, basically?
I think so. Yeah. Well, and they couldn't.
Look, the reason
I was doing that bit about claiming I wanted to name all the trophies after Mike and is there is a certain thing where it's like he's sort of the only guy until, you know, the 70s, you know what I mean? I mean, until Bill Russell, like, where it's like he was the only famous basketball player for a pretty long time.
Well, and then he let Kareem Abdul-Jabbar go to the NBA.
Yep,
because he underbid him. You know that story, right, Wilms?
No.
The ABA, when Kareem came out, you know, he had a choice between the ABA and the NBA. And the ABA owners pooled all their money. And Kareem was like, I don't want to negotiate and go back and forth. Like, I found that distasteful. Just give me your best offer and I'll pick between them. And so the ABA owners got all like pooled their money and they offered him like $1 million signing bonus for, you know, for 1969 or whatever. That's huge. And they even had a check. And George Mikan went in there and offered like $600,000 instead.
Yeah, thinking like he was going to get to
the check.
Yeah,
he was like, and Kareem was like, "Well, I told you just one offer," and the NBA
thought he was going to get to negotiate.
And it's
after
like
Kareem had said, "You get one offer,"
and the whole thing was like, why would they make up the check? Like the whole deal was like, "Here's this check right now. You can take to a bank if you sign with the NBA." And also they had to run the league out of Minneapolis because that's where his insurance business was, I think. He might have been a realtor, Joey.
Yeah, I think he was.
Like I said, NBA history starts in 1980.
Yeah. Yeah.
this is what was going on before 1980. I'm sorry. Like, we don't count those.
George Mikan being on this trophy also makes sure that there's three white guys along with the three black players.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, that's ridiculous.
I don't know who Most Improved should be. Maybe it's the Bobby Simmons trophy, Joey.
Daryl Armstrong.
Yeah, the Daryl Armstrong trophy is tight. That would be great. That's who I would like. Yeah,
just a cool guy.
Or the George Morrison trophy.
He did win it.
You need a white guy. Morrison won it once. And you could actually just use the Michael Jordan silhouette because that actually would look more like something Morrison would do.
Actually, here's a guy who won it that I would love to name the trophy after. Call it the Aaron Brooks trophy.
Who's going to win the Mr. Brooks this year?
Hell yeah.
Okay, six-man John Havlicek.
Hate it.
I mean,
too many Celtics already on these on these trophies.
Yeah, it's a good point.
And there's
Celtic stuff.
It would be hilarious if it was Lou Williams, though.
Yeah,
actually, exactly. It actually kind of should be Jamal Crawford, now that I think about it.
Well, I actually think this is another, there's a very obvious answer for who this should be, actually. And this should be the man of Ginobili.
Oh, yeah. Actually, okay. Yeah, and that would be cooler, too. Yeah. It'd be like, it's still kind of a white guy, but he's from Argentina. It should be the Manu.
Or the Andre Iguodala. He's basically retired. You know what I mean? Like, name it after one of those guys who was awesome and was not starting for as like a bit.
So what are they going to name after LeBron after he retires? The scoring title?
Great question.
Is it going to be like a trophy for the scoring title, you think? I mean, that's weird because it sort of doesn't fit exactly, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure what's left.
I mean, the Taco Tuesday TM trophy for yeah. when you win the scoring title.
The LeBron James Player of the Month award.
I mean, honestly, that's probably not a bad guess.
Yeah, the player I'm of the just month. Thinking of what's left, yeah.
I mean, clearly they're going to, I guarantee when Steph Curry retires, they're going to create a 3.1, right? And it'll be the Steph Curry 3-point champion.
Well, until then, they've got Clutch Player of the Year, Joey. And I would just like to say that.
Is that a new thing?
Yes, yeah. It's the last and one they added.
It's named after Jerry West.
It's Jerry West, baby. Oh, one of the all-time greats. Well, they,
how do they vote for it?
I believe they award it to the player who loses the most finals games.
Yeah.
I think that's right. I don't know if anyone's lost more finals games than him in history.
Is this just something they can give to Dame?
Yes. They made an award to give to Dame. Yes. That's what this is.
Not the first time.
Yeah. He can put it next to his bubble MVP. Yeah. And
Mickey Mouse not going to win.
Do you think Jerry West likes this award or he's.
No, Jerry West doesn't like anything.
Do you think but was there a moment where he felt honored and then went to self-loathing, or was he like just. Mad in general.
I just don't understand. Everyone already knows he is literally the logo of the league. Why does he also need a trophy named after him?
I mean, his nickname is Mr. Clutch, but also, yeah, it's an award game. Like, who? It's for Dame Nation.
Well, it would have been DeMar DeRozan last year.
Yeah. I mean, that would be tight.
John, who do you think should be named, who should get Clutch Player of the Year? Because
for the trophy. Robert Ory.
Awesome. Oh, great answer.
That would be amazing.
I was going to suggest Reggie Miller, but yeah, Robert Ory also.
Robert Ory, yep, baby. Yep, that would be perfect. So tight.
Yeah. Robert Ory is so cool.
Yeah.
That would rule. Robert Ory should have a trophy named after him.
Robert Ory would drive people insane today because his metrics would probably be bad. But it's like, you understand that like he won a bunch of championships with like different teams. And was like the guy they gave the ball at the end of the game when they had Kobe.
Yeah.
Right. it's some of the worst moments of other players' whole NBA careers were based on being one step too far away from Robert Ory. And that includes like Rasheed Wallace, Chris Webber, many players, Patrick Ewing, Charles Oakley, all guys that didn't close out on Robert Ory and lost titles because of it. Yeah. Okay. I think that's our episode.
Yeah. John, thank you so much for coming on. Is there anything you'd like to plug? Anything you've written at Real GM recently?
Oh, yeah. Something went up today. It's weekly. So just check it out. RealGM.com. There I am. Mm-hmm. Check me out.
Yeah. He's a, to quote my favorite song from the soundtrack to the Ryan Gosling movie Drive that was written about Sully Sullenberger. He's a real GM and a real human being, John Wilms.
Okay, damn.
Sean, Are you doing any stand-up where you plan on bringing Elon Musk up to the stage to get booed?
You know, my DMs are open. I did DM Sam Bankman-Fried and invite him on the podcast. He has not gotten back to me. I think he's in jail.
I think he's busy, yeah.
His DMs are open. I will be at Cobb's Comedy Club on December 18th with Sammy Obaid. And then the first weekend in January, I am at the recently reopened Rooster Tea Feathers in beautiful Sunnyvale, California.
They have the first Pong machine there. No, they have a sign.
Well, yeah, they had the first Pong machine in there. And it kept breaking, and the Apple guys who made it were like, oh, this sucks. And then they realized that it had so many quarters in it that it had malfunctioned because it was so popular.
Yeah.
I guess Atari guys, not Apple guys.
And then did you write anything?
It's not an iPhone game.
Did you write anything for Warriors World or the baseball website you write for?
It's called Golden State of Mind, Joey.
God, why do I always do that?
You don't truck with Warriors World around these parts. You can read my basketball stuff at Yard Barker. I think I have some good stuff at the Giants Baseball Insider site about things the Giants are doing. I'm going to write about Carlos Correa a little later today. And I have a secret fun article that'll go up at Golden State of Mind later this week.
We love secrets.
Yeah.
And then as for me, my job ends this month, so I think in January I'm going to start streaming Marvel Snap as a bit. Yes. I'll let you know when that happens. Because the idea of streaming a mobile game is really funny to me.
We're gonna have I'm gonna review Shaq's phone game this next week for the Patreon, and soon Joey and I are going to review the Shaqaroni pizza. Mm-hmm. Yep. I have already sampled it and have some thoughts.
And then, wait, I had a Shaq bit.
Please.
The definitive Shaq moment for me now. I mean, it hasn't been a basketball moment for a long time. Mm-hmm. Last year when he had this completely unnecessary back and forth with like Ben Simmons, where it was like, all right, like everybody is like, you know, pooping on this guy, but like you're doing it so much that it like he's responding and it's like you're doing like a public feud. Mm-hmm. He had an interview with Taylor Rooks from Bleacher Report where she asked him about it, and he like went to such a dark place because he was like what I want him to understand is like what the kind of person you have to become to win in this sport and to like, you know, get true success. And he's like I deserted everyone I love. He's like my children at the time didn't like me. I lost my wife. And he's like, that's what it takes to win. And I was just like, wow.
Like, I don't know if you want enough to be sacrificing. You're kind of known for not quite reaching your potential all the way.
But that's the coolest part about Shaq is that he like, he like lazied into being like one of the top 50 greatest players of all time.
Yeah, and I don't think whatever was going on with him interpersonally was like necessarily related to the basketball stuff.
No, he was an incredible coxman on the road. That's what he had like lots of girlfriends. That's what
it takes to win.
That's what it takes to win. I feel like Ben Simmons could do that if he really put his mind to it.
Yeah,
I like that he's kind of thriving with. I think KD is good for him.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
But then also as for me, you can follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where this week I hadn't tweeted in a long time, but I tweeted an absolute banger. On December 8th, I tweeted, I think that at Public Storage may be scamming me.
I love that he added them.
And yeah, that's our episode. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Let's name all the trophies after George Mikan.
What a beautiful plane I have found in the lane, made of balsa wood for the right bros. Like the Kia with Blake, I will jump this plane fake, and surely I'll get a 10 from Meek. magnifique, and I'll start doing commercials for Boeing. My optimism was rash, and then down I did crash on the airplane under the rim. With a scarf around my neck, both the wings, they got wrecked, and I tossed off the goggles, cause I couldn't see. No siree, I was roasted hard by Kenny and Reggie. To get swole, Dennis Smith jumped J. Cole, Miles Bridges wore a grandmama jersey, one guy's arm through the hoop, Curry threw alley-oops, I had actors dressed as airmen from history, Tuskegee pilots, not the syphilis experiment. The plane duck got a 42 H from Dean Brown and Alonzo too, while Shaq teamed up with Hamadou. I wore Adidas on my feet. They used Dwayne Wade and Muggsy Bogues and celeb MVP Quavo. He held the ball in a give and go, and Team LeBron would win the game.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.